Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Page 346. On the first, my name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know, yes, I know my name is there. Sing, I know, oh, my name is written. On the second, sing the second now. Once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record, but by His blood the Savior crossed and placed it on His robe. Sing, I know, I know, my name. While others climb through worldly strife to carve a name of honor, I like this, high up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there. I'd sing now, I know, yes, I know. Aren't you glad that your name is written there? Amen. 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 Y'all sounding good this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Phil.
But Vicky did this song a couple of weeks ago. As soon as he tells me she's ready, she did this song a couple of weeks ago. There's nothing greater than grace. I'm glad that not just at 7 years old when I receive God's grace for salvation, but the grace that He grants me daily, situations that I face. You pray for Vicki. Listen as she says.
What do you say to someone who feels like they've lost it all? Over the edge with no one there to break their fall. Who feels so unloved, giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough? And what do you say to a hopeless soul unsure what happens after their last breath in time. And what do you say to someone who's built a wall you can't break through, when it's so hard for them to hear the truth? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to say, remember, there is nothing greater than grace. Don't lose hope. Don't let go. Don't give up. You are not alone. You are not alone. There is no valley. There is no dark. There is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to save, so before you think
been a few weeks since we did it, but I wanted to pull it out this morning. I don't know, Brother Joe's class is so far ahead of us. He's that much smarter in the Bible that he can teach three times as fast as I can. I can't get through, you know, these things. I got two chapters a week, and it's tough. And so I'm still back in chapter 9, and we saw the picture of God as being the light of the world, when He put the clay on the man's eyes, told him to go wash, and he could see. And that was wonderful. But later in that same chapter, when He accepts him, there's a difference. He took care of that physical need, but at the end of that chapter, He takes care of that spiritual need. And this song, I tell you every time, this song says, the closer I get to the cross, the more I clearly see the holiness of you and the sinfulness of me. If we're walking way over here and the Lord's here, we don't see Him as well. We don't know when He's telling us what we need to do. When He's tugging at us, we don't realize it because we've wandered way over here. But the closer we get to Him, those still small voices, that feeling inside, He can touch us, and we're right there close with Him. And he can let us know we're either getting off the right track, or we are getting into something that maybe we need His help, need to be leaning on Him more for. The closer I get to the cross, choir sings.
There is safety in the distance when it's out of sight and mind. My life was unexamined for fear of what I'd find.
And once again in solitude, my soul is unfulfilled. Then I step through the crowd and step towards the hill. The closer I get to the cross, the more I clearly see the holiness of you.
Sometimes I want to turn my head so I don't have to face the truth of everything you've done for me and what I've done to you.
But here my eyes are open and it breaks my heart to know just how deep the roots of all my failures grow. The closer I get to the cross, the more I clearly
the cares of life have darkened the light, and I feel like I'm drifting away. So break me, mold me, cleanse me, then
If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. And as we look at this, these particular verses, I'm interested in verse number 14 of chapter 24. This was the message that Joshua was given from God to give to the people of Israel. Now you say, Brother Melvin, that's the Old Testament economy. Just remember this. The Old Testament is the guide to the New Testament. And God still leaves those same commandments, those instructions for the Jewish people. Although they were under the law, They were transferred over to the day of grace, and we are under the blood. That's the difference. But I want to tell you, we still today have the same God that the Israelites did when they crossed the Dead Sea, and they came and inherited the land that God gave them. My dear friend, today let me report to you, we're not headed to Israel, but as believers, we're headed to heaven. I don't think it's going to be much longer. I'm not going to be on Bible prophecy this morning. It's hard to stay off of Bible prophecy. Dear Lord, what's going on right now? Could I take a time? Well, if I got started on Bible prophecy, we wouldn't even have time for lunch. We'd be here for supper. But listen to what it says in verse number 14. Now, immediately, therefore, listen very carefully. Fear the Lord. This is the Old Testament instructions under the day of the law. But my dear friend, the same instruction today is we as believers, we are to have reverential respect and obedience to Almighty God. You see, He has saved us. He has birthed us into the family of God. And that does not mean we can sit down and twiddle our thumbs until we get home. He has placed us here for a purpose. Not only to be citizens of heaven, not only to be examples of how to live a Christian life, but dear friend, we are to be serving Him as we walk this life and let the people around us see there's a difference in a Christian walk. It says, therefore, fear the Lord. Secondly, it says, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. In other words, simply put, just be totally dedicated and totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that calls on a lot, doesn't it? When we are dedicated and we're totally committed as Christians to the Lord Jesus Christ, that means we deny self. Brother Melvin, I think I'll go home for lunch right now. You see, that's the problem with we Christians. We got self in front of us too many times. Self causes us problems. Do you know the biggest problem I have is not y'all people, it's me. I have problems with myself. Self gets in the way. But I want to tell you one thing. When we conquer self and get self out of the way, and we are willing to be obedient and follow the words of God and live for Him, dear friend, our life is a whole lot better, whole lot comfortable, and more blessed by the Almighty God and His blessings in our life, in our path. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord. And then it says, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. There's a lot of serving of the Lord in this days and times. There's a lot of people say, oh, I'm a Christian. There's a lot of churches that say, well, now we are a Christian church. We are the standard bearers for the Christian faith. But when you look at some of their doctrines, and when you listen to some of the things that are coming from the pulpits and across our television broadcast, dear friend, you wonder where they got that strange doctrine. You see, the doctrines of the Bible are not strange. The doctrines of hell are strange tonight, today. This morning. We are in the morning, aren't we? I'm all right. Just get over it. Now, as we look just a little bit further, it says, serve Him with sincerity and in truth. Why did it say truth? There's only one word in this whole world that is truth. There's no error in this book. This is the truth, and not only is it the truth, it is the light. And it's not only the light, but it is the way to eternal salvation and a holy walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look, it says, now put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side. That's talking about of the flood. That's the Old Testament economy. And it's talking about put away those gods, those strange gods. It says which were in Egypt. But I want to tell you something. We here in America today are guilty of strange gods, serving strange gods. The God of flesh, the God of pleasure, the God of prosperity. Brother Mevin, is it a sin to prosper? Not when you place God first in your prosperity. But if you place prosperity and achieving prosperity ahead of God, you've got things in disarray and not in order. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I want to tell you, I'm not a rich man, but I sure am not a poor man. You know why I'm not a poor man? You say, Brother Ben, you mean you got piles of money in the bank? I ain't going to talk about that. But I'll tell you what, I've got treasures laid up on the other side. And like Brother Hinkle Little from North Carolina used to say from this pulpit, I'm looking for my laid ups. Boy, I'm telling you what, I trust that I've got a few laid ups up there, Brother Joe. The best thing that I can hear him say is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, enter in. But you see, the things that we are serving, that we do for God, when we do it for a sincere heart, and it's for God, we're laying up treasures on the other side. Now, Brother Melvin, is it gold? No. You see, well, we're just going to walk on streets of gold. So gold must not be that important in heaven. If we're going to walk on streets of gold, God doesn't put too much emphasis on gold. I mean, we're going to walk on streets of gold. But I'll tell you what, just to be in the presence of God, His holiness, the brightness of His countenance, and His loving compassion, and all the things that He has there waiting for us. You go over into the book of Revelation and it begins to give a little synopsis, a brief glimpse of heaven. Just a brief glimpse, because I don't think it could be put in a book what heaven's really like. But just in a brief, my word, can you imagine those walls of jasper and all those stones and the emeralds and the gold, all the precious gold and jewels around? And can you imagine the mansions? They used to sing back in when I was a kid. I've heard them. Y'all old heads like myself, y'all probably. I'd just build me a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. You remember that song, some of y'all old folks? Go ahead and nod your head to know, admit your age. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know the humblest of whoever wrote that song, and I know they used to sing it, but because, boy, I'm telling you, those country churches, that was our number one song. Build me a cabin in the cone of glory land. Well, honey, there's no cabins in heaven. Now, I know the humility and the humbleness of the person that wrote the song, but I understand the concept of that. Well, when you get over and begin to study and read the book of Revelation, God has the most wonderful. The universe has never experienced what we're going to experience. No person that has ever been born that is not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ is going to experience what we're going to experience. You see, can you imagine when we step into the portals of glory? Now, I don't know how we're going to get there. I don't know whether, I think sometimes I begin to think, well, you know, when we close our eyes here, we just zapped. But I know one thing. If we're zapped, we're going to be zapped back. You say, uh-oh, Brother Melvin, I don't understand that one. Well, if you go before the tribulation period, just before the tribulation period, the dead in Christ are going to come back. And we which are alive and remain, we're going to be changed. The Bible says we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Whew. Shout, Christian. We're going home. My, I could start politicking right now. Just get over it. What's happened now is just a prelude of what's going to happen, because just around the corner, we're going to have a plane air ride. And we're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, if you're saved. You must be saved. You must be born again. Well, Brother Madden, I'm a member of Westside Baptist. Hey, did you know, and I've said it so many times, I'll say it one more time. The Lord is not coming to Gene Farmer's house and asked for the rolls of Westside Baptist Church. God's not interested in that. You see, your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it's not written there, you're not going there. But if it's not written there, you still have the opportunity to have it written there. As long as you've got breath, as long as you've got ears to hear, a mind to think, and a heart to surrender, you have the opportunity to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whew. Glory to God. Brother, I'm getting more out of this than I thought it was. Honestly, I got up here with the thought that about halfway through I was going to have to surrender and say, whippersnapper, you better get up here and snap real quick. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that served on that were on this other side of the foot, or the gods of the Amorites in whose ye dwell. But as for me and my house, my house and my precious wife now, our house is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord of God. Sing that song, Glad Reunion Day. Sing that song, What a Day That Will Be. When my Jesus I shall see. Oh, hallelujah, Christian. We can shout the glory because we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're headed home. We're headed home. We're headed home. Oh, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Oh, listen. We've got a race to run. God's not through with us yet. Over in the book of Hebrews, the writer says in chapter 12, verse 22, says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Hey, people are watching over on us. The heaven's watching on us today, watching what we're doing. Listen to what we're saying. Seeing where we're going, we got a cloud of witnesses that watch us every day. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now this is the Christian. Let us lay aside every weight. What's holding you down from running the race with patience? I never will forget. I never was a good runner. Well, one time they chose me to be in the relay race. The county, all the schools would come up here to Union, and we was in the relay race, and they chose me to be one of the ones to carry the baton the second time. The first runner would run to me and hand me the baton. Oh, boy, I'm telling you what, I was geared up for that. I took liniment, and I rubbed myself to make sure that I was limbered up and all that, got ready for it. Got out there, and that boy ran up to me, and he ran just as fast. He couldn't even slam that thing at me, and before I could get a hold of it, it dropped. I had to stop and pick it up. By the time I got it picked up, they was way ahead of me. Needless to say, we didn't win that race. You see, sometimes we drop the baton. But don't stop when you pick it up. keep on running. Keep on running the race. Run the race with patience. Because you see, you may be, not be the first one to cross the finish line, but when you cross the finish line, that's all that matters. It's not how you run the race, but it's how you cross the finish line that matters. Oh, listen, we'll make mistakes down here. We'll allow sin to get in our way. Sort of, because I've seen through my years of ministry, and you have, brother, you other preachers, I know you have, I've seen some of the great preachers, I say great, not preachers, great people, let me say that, that have been known to be great Christians, stumble, fall. And I've seen some of them just drift by the wayside. I've seen some of them get up, shake it off, and keep on running. Jesus. It's not how you run the race, but how you cross the finish line that matters. That's most important. I want to cross the finish line. I may have dropped the baton one time, but hallelujah, praise God, I'm going to cross that finish line for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good day to be a Christian. Sure is a good day to be a Christian. Oh, my. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, he could have said, I'm not going to do it. They're not worth it. Let them just burn in hell. Why should I go down in? Why should I endure that cross? Why should I endure the humiliation? I'm the Son of God. No. He had the heart of love. He had the heart of obedience. Because he knew that because he was the only hope of redemption, he listened to God the Father and obediently obeyed. The plan has been laid. The price has been paid. My dear friend, that all rests on us. Do you know Jesus? Well, Brother Melvin, I'm a member of Westside Baptist Church. I said, get over that. God's not interested in your church membership. You see, when I was 12 years of age, about maybe 13 years of age, I was coerced and, you know, put, you know, carried to the altar, and I then went through the motions and said, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I went through the baptismal pool, went into the baptismal pool, dry sinner, and came out a wet sinner because I really wasn't saved at 13. But I want to tell you, when I was almost 19 years of age, 14 Bittersweet Lane. No, that's my house down here. 14 Collier Road in Atlanta. 14 Collier Road in Atlanta, Georgia. Brother, you know the place. Back there when they was building that expressway, those boulders, I got there behind those boulders one evening. And I had a call on the name of the Lord and says, Lord, save me. I pleaded heaven. Nothing happened. I got up off of my knees and went from those boulders, went into the bathroom of the house where I was staying with my uncle and aunt. At Defoe Avenue Baptist Church, they were having revival service. I said, well, I might as well go on over there. Nothing's happened. I'm not going to be saved. God's not going to save me. Walked into that bathroom. I hadn't shut the door good till somebody else was in that room. Glory to God. Whew. My life has been changed. And I've never been the same. And I will never be the same. I'm heaven bound. What about you? What about you? Ever had about every eye closed, no one looking around. Let me ask you this question. Are you ready for the Lord to come? If you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you know, that you know, that you know that you're saved, would you slip that hand up? You know that you know that you know that you're saved, would you slip that hand up? You can put the hands down. Many didn't raise the hand. That indicates to me that you're not sure of your salvation. It's a dangerous thing to walk away from the call and the plea of the Holy Spirit to come to the foot of the cross and plead your case at the foot of the cross and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. I wonder, let me ask you one more question. You have immediate family that you know are not saved. Or you have close friends that you know that are not saved. And you're so concerned about their condition and where they will spend eternity. Would you slip your hand up? Signifying that you have friends, that you have family, you have persons that are of interest that you know about that you're sure that they're not saved. Hands going up, you can put the hands down. You can put the hands down. We're going to have a song just a minute. And this is going to be the invitation. It is not necessarily this morning for a person, but it's not accepting a person who needs salvation. But if you really meant business, if you have these friends or these family members that are not saved, you know they're going to hell. You might be the only one that's petitioning heaven on their behalf. You might be the only hope to get the message through to that will show them or pray for them or witness to them or help them in some way. We're going to have a song in just a minute. I'm going to pray right now. We're going to have a song in just a minute. If you really haven't been concerned about and really are concerned enough that you come down this altar and pray for them, that does not mean you're coming for yourself. That means you're coming for somebody else. You obey God. Heavenly Father, in the holy name of Jesus, thank you for the help, the strength this morning. You know my physical condition, and thank you, Lord, that you carried beyond the physical condition and helped me in the pulpit. Now, Lord, the message has been preached. The challenge has been issued. The warning has been made. It's all in your power and your hands. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand our feet as we begin to sing this verse of song. You are my God right now. Just washed in the blood.